Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of the Break It Down podcast. As usual, my name is Asari Ndem, and in the studio with me today is my co-host,
Chibuike Alaboso.
He's also going to introduce our two lovely guests.
Lucy and Chime, but I'll give it over to them to do the full intro.
Ladies first.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
My name is Lucy Abeng. I am the founder of Mental Health for Youth Initiative. And I'm also a lecturer at Bayes University.
It's crazy. She's a professor.
She's smart.
She's smart.
Good to have you, Lucy.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. My name is Chime Asonye. I'm a public policy practitioner, a lawyer, and I'm the founder of Nigeria Mental Health. We are a multidisciplinary network of practitioners, persons with disabilities, and organizations focused on psychosocial well-being in the country. So it's great to have people like Lucy on board working collaboratively as we push for mental health reforms in the country.
Sounds great. Also, I'm very interested in you being a lawyer because today we're breaking down the mental health bill. No, so before we get into policy and like breaking stuff down, do you have any experiences with anyone who either has or had a mental health issue that was just exacerbated by like their lack of access to quality healthcare? GBK. Do you know anyone like that?
None comes to mind immediately.
Really?
Yep. What immediately comes to mind is rather a research, because as advocates, we advocate with evidence. So I remember this research that Nigeria Health Watch, actually our other arm, our research arm, APAfric, did some time ago with Africa Polling Institute. Around mental health care in Nigeria.
A very important study.
Yes.
I cite it all the time.
Yes. Yeah. So, because you can't advocate based on what you think. It's based on, this is what is on ground. Mm-hmm. So I think some of the findings or some of the feedback that people gave in that survey, it's really mind-boggling. People saying, if someone has mental health issues, they're going to flog it out of them. People think it's a spiritual problem. So such feedback sort of makes you wonder what people think around mental health, because the usual perception is, when someone is on the road, someone is, use that, the three word, MAD, that's when it's a mental health problem.
So just to piggyback on what you said, it's so important that you brought up that study, because I think that that's one of the studies that really talks about how mental health is so stigmatized in the country, as in we have such a negative perception of what a mental health condition is, if we even understand what mental health is. So just, one of the findings of that particular study was that the highest understanding for individuals, citizens in Nigeria, of what a mental health disease is someone running around naked.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is 70% of individuals think that that's what a mental health issue is. And if you look at the next two ones, it's someone hurting themselves or somebody talking loudly and things like that. So we have this idea of essentially a caricature, a crazy person walking around and doesn't have the ability to function. And just to take it a piggyback, the five lists, two of them have to do with spiritual attack and faith. So we think that it's either a punishment of God, right? We also, you've sinned or something like that, and it's coming to roots.
From the village people, we usually see. Those expressions.
Yeah, that's why they take you to prayer warriors. And then they take you to a prayer house. A person will say you have to fast for 30 days or 60 days, and that they think that you've resolved the issue, but they don't know you're just hungry and tired.
That's
true. And that's why your actions are a little bit more subdued. Not that they've solved the root of the problem. Yeah. So it's a huge issue, but I think more people are recognizing the importance of mental health now because of things like COVID, right? We had global studies that saying that we had mental health rates increased by 25%. And then even in Nigeria, if we look at another study, we have one from MANI, which is Mentally Aware Nigeria Initiative, and Africa Polling Institute. And it said that they did a research And they said that almost 75% of Nigerians are experiencing acute levels of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it should surprise anyone given mm-hmm. what we're all going through. We don't have to spell out whether it's inflation or yep. whether it's yep. economic crisis insecurity. Or it is cash crunches or it is fuel scarcity or whatever. Or it's your personal, you know, people have their own mental health conditions that are yeah. genetic or disposition. So we're really struggling. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize that this is important, but it is.
Yeah.
Not just because of the mental health conditions, but because of mortality. People die because they take their lives and they can't get access to care. People think that suicide is something that, you know, is a white man's disease.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't know that the majority of suicides actually take place in low and middle income countries mm-hmm. like Nigeria, which is unfortunately an epicenter for suicide on the continent. So it's something that we definitely need to think about.
Yeah.
And it's something that may affect you. Right. If the statistics are anything to go by, but it might affect your friends, your neighbor, your sister, your brother.
Someone
so
that
we
you
need
know.
To make sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are studies that, you know, show that there is a problem with accessing mental health care in Nigeria. And the mental health bill was raised to solve some of these problems. Right. So can you break down the mental health bill just a little bit?
Or at least three things that stand out. Whoever is listening, yeah, stand that, mm-hmm. you know, just should
put it in their mind. Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, let me say now it's an act because it's been passed, right? So we think, and I really applaud all the actors that have been involved in this. I remember me and Lucy last year at this point, we didn't know what was going to happen with this, mm-hmm. with this act, but we all came together as a movement to have demonstrations, to have open letters, to push getting the act passed. So it was really great that we have an act. But if I was going to break it down, I would say that there's like four components of the act mm-hmm. That have different functions. The main overriding thing you should know is that we had something called a Lunacy Act. Mm-hmm. And you could just think lunacy, yeah. crazy, yeah. lunatic, right?
Yeah.
And so how do you treat people you think like that? They don't give them human rights and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So we essentially shifted from a colonial framework to a human rights centered one.
Mm-hmm.
And we created new institutions. We create something called a mental health assessment committee, which mm-hmm. is supposed to have diverse stakeholders to protect human rights. We have something called a mental health fund, which is supposed to increase financing in the sector. We have something called a department of mental health, which is supposed to coordinate all the ongoing mental health reforms.
Okay.
We have a new terrain of human rights. Right. Whether it's social medical care, we have improved access and management of care. And then we have also improved kind of like management of care. So things that people did before, you know, whether it's sexually exploit individuals or mm-hmm. not have access to care at the grassroots. Mm-hmm. These things are supposed to be mainstream now in the Mental Health Act. But it's an act and we need to make sure that we implement that act going forward.
Very important, because it's one thing to have the act. It's another thing to actually get it to work, to make a difference. I'll come to you, Lucy. You work in this space. So just give a bit of background. Also, where we started this conversation from personal experiences, doing work around mental health care. And now that the act is here, helping to, you know, providing a legal framework, because it's one thing to do something to say, oh, this is the right thing to do. But then if you're backed by law, it makes a whole lot of difference. So how has it been before and now that the act is here, how is it empowering mm-hmm. or changing the work that you're doing as a mental health advocate or someone who works in the space?
Right. So I started lecturing in 2018, and that was the period I actually noticed that a lot of young people are going through like several mental health issues. I did a survey at Bayes University. Mm-hmm. And one question we asked was, what's mental health? What do you think mental health is? And it's funny, you guys kept talking about the crazy like, mm-hmm. from that, because that was the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like the first thing you just hear someone say is, oh, when someone is mad or something. Mm-hmm. But then of recent, because we do outreaches to secondary schools, we ask them questions. And also, I'm saying this from our outreaches. Most times they just think of depression also. So mm-hmm. funny, depression is becoming more prominent with them. So when you hear mental health, it's either the mad person on the street or depression. But then there are many other parts of mental health, not just depression. And I mean, what we do mostly in schools is we just like really let them know there's something called mental health, like your physical health. There's also your mental health. And it's not just, it's not something to feel ashamed to talk about.
Yes.
It's not something you should feel like, oh, I shouldn't talk to someone if I'm going through stuff. What we also do is like also let them know what it is, because you can't really talk about, no, as at a really young age, studies shows that most mental health issues begin to start at 14, mm-hmm. 13, 14. And there's a point where things like, say someone has been going through trauma, mm-hmm. now, like maybe abuse at home or sexual abuse, whatever it is, it begins to make sense to them at that age because they're beginning to think about things. And if they do have the right information, like say, this thing you're feeling, this is what it is, and you can process it this way, or you need to speak with someone, your friend, a psychologist, say a psychiatrist, or take drugs. When I say drugs, medication. You take medications from a professional, mm-hmm. right? So you take medications. All of those things could help the individual to manage this crisis or also prevent something bigger happening, mm-hmm. which is kind of like the vision for my organization, because we're trying to say, if we have young people aware of mental health, what it is, and also being able to speak up and have access to affordable care, professional care, then most would eventually have adults, for want of a better word, more mentally stable adults. Because if you really do an assessment of most Nigerians, we're upstairs, we're not really mentally stable. Okay. So that's, we also know that, do you know in Abuja, there's only one government rehab facility, and somewhere in Gwagalada by the NDLEA. Mm-hmm. And then if you try to get help from the private sector, it's really expensive. It's really, really expensive. So one of the research we did, the survey I did, I found out that even those that realize, okay, I do need help, they don't have the funds. It's not accessible.
Yeah.
So it's one thing for you to know, okay, yeah, I need help. Then it's another thing for you to actually, even when you know where to go, it's really, really expensive. So for the average... But the average Nigerian, it isn't. So one thing this bill would help, one thing the law would help in the near future is mainly for government to, you know, establish more rehab, more facilities to handle mental health issues. Because, and oh yeah, most people think when you, they say mental health issues, people just think drugs also. Which is also really huge. Mm-hmm. So apart from that, we do need the government to provide some of these facilities, not just in Abuja, in the states and all, because that would make it easier for people to easily seek for help. And if we're able to do that, a lot of mental health issues would be managed.
There's actually a lot to unpack, really. When it comes to mental health. And just to shock you, I don't know if you came across this, but there's actually a news publication that used the word, is it 20? I've forgotten the exact figure they use, but like 20% of Nigerians are mad or something. They put it there. And, you know, people, remember?
Yeah.
And people were like, no, you can't. This is not. Say again.
It's very sensationalized.
It's very sensational. Yeah. It's not sensitive to the people who are, you know, facing those issues. Moreover, that's not the right words to use.
Yeah.
So it's really a big problem, and I'm hoping that this act is going to help change a lot of things. You mentioned you talked about a department that's going to be established. That's at the Ministry of Health.
Yes, but it's supposed to be in the Ministry of Health. So many things to respond to. So yes, it's supposed to be established in the Ministry of Health. I'm in conversations about how it will look like, but I will tell you, there are forces that are trying to stifle the department. It was already an issue, actually, because there was conversations before the passage of the act about whether it should be a commission, an agency, et cetera. Finally, they wanted to be a department. And now that it's a department, there are forces that I don't want to say from where, but I will tell you that this is true. People are trying to stop the creation of the department. Already the National Mental Health Program, which is just was established last year, doesn't get a lot of funding right now. If you go to their office, it's like they don't have a lot of resources. It's a small cubicle, you know, it's a small office, not even a full office. This space is bigger than their office itself. So you can imagine how mental health is deprioritized. And the other issue is that when we have the Mental Health Act, good, we need it implemented, but we need a other conducive regulatory environment, right? So the point of the Mental Health Act is to get people who are psychologically vulnerable help. People who are struggling, people who are facing challenges with their psychological condition. But we have other laws that prevent you from getting help. So for instance, decriminalizing attempted suicide. Right now, attempted suicide is illegal based on a 1-year jail penalty, according to the criminal and penal codes.
So it's a crime.
It's a crime. It is a crime right now. So they can detain you and say you've tried to attempt suicide. I was talking to the VP, former Vice President Osibanjo. He said that somebody tried to walk across a highway and they were arrested. And what was their charge? That they attempted to commit suicide by walking around. And that's how they detained them. And you know how it is when you work with the police, you struggle and challenges, right? The World Health Organization says that if you have places where suicide is criminalized, people don't want to engage in help-seeking behavior. They don't want to talk about their issues or challenges. And officials don't want to collect authority from different locations because they're afraid of suicidal behavior. So we need to decriminalize attempted suicide. Nigerian Mental Health, along with over 40 plus members of the organization and partner organizations, including professional associations, we started a petition called Suicide Not a Crime. People can visit our website, www.nigerianmentalhealth.org. They can sign the petition. We also launched a policy brief last week in honor of National Suicide Prevention Month. And the point was that to give evidence-based recommendations of why we should decriminalize attempted suicide and what alternatives that we should have. We shouldn't have people who are vulnerable and want to take their life. And then we should get them the support they need. We shouldn't get them detention or punishment.
So you mentioned, Lucy, you mentioned access to mental health care. And for me, I think that's like a really big thing because I've had like bouts of anxiety and bouts of depression. And I remember at some point, maybe last year or 2 years ago, no, it was definitely last year, where I was thinking, oh, I do need to go to the UK because I feel like I need to go and speak with my therapist. No. I was like, I need to go and speak with my therapist because my therapist is in the UK. And I thought to myself, well, why can't I talk to someone here? Right? Yeah. And then I reached out to like a couple of facilities that offer help. Right. And the cost.
Oh, my God.
The cost for one session.
And the insurance didn't cover it.
My insurance does not know what it is. It doesn't. So the Mental Health Act, does it speak to making mental health care accessible and affordable for Nigerians? Anybody.
I would say that it does. I mean, the point of the Mental Health Act is to expand access to care. And so there's provisions in it about how there's supposed to be expansion of mental health services in other diseases, HIV, AIDS, malaria, postpartum depression, etc. But there's also says that there's supposed to be guidelines to mainstream mental health in all public health facilities, right? So, you know, right now you can go to a public health facility and get an HIV test. You should be able to get a screening for, you know, a mental health condition too. So it's supposed to create those guidelines and we'll see what happens in the future with that. So the point is to expand access to care. Really. And like you said, a lot of people don't. There was one study that says that less than 10% of Nigerians get the care that they need.
Yes.
You know, it's, right. You have to convince most Nigerians to go to the hospital for their physical health. How much more
their mental health,
right?
Yeah. So that's true.
We did an interview one time. We do street interviews sometimes, and there's this one man we met, and he said, if he has mental health issues, he would speak to his God. Like, he doesn't believe that you need to speak to another human. Yeah. God would answer all of his prayers and his worries and all. Which is another dimension of how people handle mental health issues and seeking help. Yeah.
True. I mean, I totally agree with you that there is a long way to go, but the important thing is we are not just folding our arms, we're doing our bit. Mm-hmm. The podcast, this episode today is to contribute to that conversation, that people should know that this is... It's not abnormal to go seek for mental health care services. And
it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah. True. It's okay not to be okay. I was going to touch on the access thing, but Asari already handled that because that's the key thing, to be honest. But we also have one suggestion because for us, one thing we do at Nigeria Health Watch, we advocate for these issues, right? But we are also very deliberate about looking out for the things that are working and amplifying them. So we actually covered a story recently. It's actually a concept where you can leverage on community health workers to expand access at the primary healthcare level, because we already know a lot of people access care at that level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how about we also push for that? Not, of course, they are, you know, depending on the level, the scale, what the person is dealing with, but at that level, basic screening, understanding, even postpartum depression, you know, dealing with women at that level, that's something we can also leverage. We think that can be leveraged on to improve access. And again, to keep pushing, like Chima said, very important, health insurance doesn't cover it. So is that a conversation that needs to start happening as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, it was an article that you wrote.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So someone's providing this solution in Imo State.
Yeah, the Happiness Project.
I'm
there's an article I wrote at Harvard Africa Policy Review.
Okay.
When we were pushing to implement the Mental Health Act, it's often regarded because it uses image gap.
And it pushes it.
So it's a really good example. I'm actually supposed to meet with one of the individuals who helps lead that project in the next 2 weeks to see how can we collaborate to really expand and scale that work.
Sure.
I will say, however, that regardless of the screening at the community level, you're always going to have an access deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's transportation, whether you can't be in every community, you know. So what do we do there? And I think that one of the things we really need to do is a national crisis hotline.
Mm-hmm.
And if any individuals here are listening and they're having psychological vulnerabilities, if they're having suicidal thoughts, they can visit our website, again, www.nigeriamentalhealth.org. Not only can you sign the petition and read the policy brief on decriminalizing attempted suicide, but we have hotlines, crisis hotlines right now that Nigerian Mental Health members have, and even ones that are ran by government, like in Lagos and Abuja here. But it's just access is too small and we need to expand it, those services for individuals. But just to say that there is help, that we have these resources out there and you should really make sure you take advantage of them, because every life is important. Every life is precious.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you so much. I think that this is an excellent place to end this podcast, because you have just given a message of hope and you've given details on where to actually access mental health care in the country. I think you're absolutely right. We do need to do a bit more. Actually, no, we need to do it lots more.
A lot more, yeah.
But I'm very proud of the Mental Health Act. I'm glad that it was passed, despite forces trying
clap for government.
It's
one of the good things that happened.
Yeah.
It's actually a major shift, like you said, lunacy to mental health.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really been amazing having you all, having you and Lucy join us today. And break these things down. I mean, this is just a 25-minute show, but we're hoping the conversation will keep going, because it's really an important conversation to have. So yeah, thank
you.
Honestly,
you're welcome back anytime.
Yes,
thank
please.
Thank you for having us.
It's not a one-off.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yes. So today's a good day to remember that your mental health matters. Your feelings are valid. Mm-hmm. The fact that no one understands how you feel doesn't make it less than what it should be. And people's strength, mental strength, differ. So the fact that you don't feel as strong as the next person doesn't make you any different, which is humans.
Yeah.
And speak to someone, speak to a loved one, someone you trust. Mm-hmm. Very important, someone you trust.
Right.
Speak to someone who actually does care about what you're saying. Yeah. And try to seek help when you can, wherever you can. And love yourself.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
You're welcome.
The theme for this year is mental health is a universal human right.
Yes, it is.
And I think Nigeria has taken one step towards ensuring that it becomes a universal human right. We just need to do a bit more.
Exactly.
A whole lot more.
Exactly.
Just walk the talk.
Yeah. All right. So thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
As always, my name is Asari Ndem.
And I am Chibike.
And I'm Lucy Abeng.
And I'm Chime Asonye.
And this has been the Break It Down podcast.
Break it down. Break it down.
We broke it down.
Thank you.
So
all right. Thank you.